big game hunter went on safari with his wife and mother-in-law. They had not been out too long when one night the wife woke up to find her mother gone. So she immediately woke her husband and said, we both must search for her and find her. The big game hunter grabbed his rifle, took a swig of his frostbite medicine, and went off searching for his mother-in-law. They had not gone too far from camp when they came upon a chilling sight. There, with her back against a big tree, waving a switch back and forth, was the mother-in-law. And there, facing her, roaring at the top of its voice, was a large male lion. And the wife said, "What are we going to do?" The hunter said, "Nothing. The lion got himself in this fix. He can get himself out." There are almost as many mother-in-law jokes as fishing jokes. I've been told I need to be a little more careful with mother-in-law jokes now that a mother-in-law is living at the White House. I suspect there are as many grouchy fathers-in-law as there are mothers-in-law who lord it over their family and everybody has to walk on eggshells trying to please. If you are a father-in-law or a mother-in-law, and that God-given role is causing disruption and pain in the family, then God's word to you this day is stop it. Some of us have been blessed with mothers-in-law who are our friends first, and the mother of our God-given mate second. I was blessed to have such a mother-in-law. We miss her physical presence, but we still feel her prayers. The gospel today contains within it the story of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. There are three individuals or groups of individuals in this story from whom we may learn. The first is the person of Jesus. Notice Jesus does not need the large crowd to exert his power. This is a private healing. One person with a need and one person who has the power to help. He disregards all the paraphernalia of the day, and just as he did in the synagogue, here in this private healing, that which was out of place, diseased, is made the way it was intended to be. He spoke the word, and that which was diseased, ill, is made the way God intended it to be. He does not do these healings in order to increase his prestige. He does not do them to bring an unbeliever to faith. Jesus never wants one person to come to faith in him because of what he does, but because of who he is. So he comes to this woman who has a need. Notice what he does. There's no big fanfare, no big trumpets playing. He goes in private to a woman who's ill, bends over, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up. Jesus' activity in the world, then and now, is meant to be kind of like that. One person who has a need, bringing that need to him. Without fanfare, without trumpets blaring, just a person with a need, presenting the need to someone who can do something about it. Then we can learn from the disciples. In some cases, these were followers, students, disciples, who hadn't really known him for a long time. But they had known him long enough to know that whatever the need, whatever the problem, they could put it at his feet. And he could do something about it. They became intercessors. Here was a person with a need. They immediately told him about it. Mark loves that word, immediately. Things happen quickly when they're brought to him. They intercede in her behalf. They tell him about it. They become a part of the prayer warriors. Much like we do in our own prayers, our own individual as well as our corporate prayers, interceding for people who have needs. Paul Tournier is a French medical doctor and Christian writer, and he tells in one of his books about his greatest discovery. He used to visit regularly with an old retired Christian minister. And the old man never let him leave, Dr. Tournier said, without praying with him and for him. And he said he was struck by the simplicity of the old man's prayers. It was as if this prayer was just the continuation of an intimate conversation that he had with a friend. Tournier said when he went back home after one of those visits, he and his wife were talking and they said, we decided we would ask God in Christ to give us that kind of relationship. He said, and since that day, God has been my closest companion, the one who knows my hopes and dreams and my fears, the one with whom I can talk over medical conditions when patients bring them to me, the one who listens as the patient is talking even better than I can. And after he leaves, I can talk with him about what to do. The disciples knew that Jesus was that kind of person, the one to whom they could take everything in prayer. They put it before him. So we can learn from Jesus, learn from the disciples. Then third, we can learn from Peter's mother-in-law. Notice that when she is restored to health, there's no shout. She doesn't even say thank you, or at least the record doesn't give us that. But what she does is that she goes about fulfilling the role that society and culture had given her. Now, she don't see this as a gender role. It's not meant as that. She's not restored to health so she can fix his supper. She's put back in a position of honor. It wasn't that culture. It would fall to the senior woman of the household to oversee the preparing of the evening meal following the Sabbath. That's what this is. And she gets to do what is a position of honor. So when she is healed and put back into a position of health, she serves. It is the most basic of Christian principles. Freely you have received, freely give. Sometimes we see renewal only in its evangelical terms. We see that the renewed life, we respond to that with words. When God in Christ invites us to respond to it in service, it's one of the strong things that happens at this church is the service. people who are renewed, who are serving. We do a grave disservice to the Christian, witness in this community if we see renewal only in terms of words and not in terms of Christian action, Christian outreach. So, we thank God for love strong enough that in our dis-ease, it comes to us, bends over, takes us by the hand, lifts us up, puts us back on our feet, pats us on the back, says, get back in there. Be my person in the world. Be my witness. Serve in my name. Challenge to us this day. Whom will we serve in the Lord's name? Some of you may need to start with your mothers-in-law.